It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
There's a rule out there that creates a clear distinction between I shall and I will. But we as speakers do not seem to respect that line, and it looks like we never have.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Rebecca.
And I don't know where that line is, but I already know that I don't respect it, and I never have.
You and pretty much everyone else. I was floored by the way this came to me. This question came to me from my friend's daughter, Aparajita, who was asking about the lesson that she had just learned from her fourth grade teacher. And her fourth grade teacher had been telling her that when she was talking about the future, she should say, I shall and we shall, but he, she, it will, they will, and you will. Have you ever heard this rule?
No, and I'm starting to question my English degree.
If your head is spinning, you are not alone. This rule goes back to a grammar published by John Wallace in the 17th century. And the idea was that for the future, you express it differently in the first person, I and we, versus the second person, you, and the third person, he, she, it, they. For future, you would say, I, we, shall, and for all the other ones, you would use will. And then for obligation, as in something you need to do, have to do, you would say, I will, we will, but he, she, it, they shall.
So what if it's both an obligation and it's happening in the future?
If it's an obligation, then you're supposed to use the whether it's will or shall for the obligation. Now, people have looked into this to say even in the 17th century was this how the language worked. And it looks like no. There's a wonderful entry on this in Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of English Usage. And they've got examples from, for example, John Dryden, where he's using I shall to express obligation as well as future. So you can see people going back and forth. Here's a nice example from Lord Byron, 1816. I shall delay it till it can be made in person, and then I will shorten it as much as I can. Merriam-Webster in that guide has a wonderful conclusion, and here I quote, the traditional rules about shall and will do not appear to have described real usage of these words very precisely at any time, although there is no question that they do describe the usage of some people some of the time, and that they are more applicable in England than anywhere else. So it does look like there were more people following some distinction like this earlier and in England than there are now in the United States. I would guess we have a few attorneys who are listening right now who say, oh, but there is an important distinction in the law where you need to use shall to express obligation. And that has historically been true. Here I'm going to turn to Brian Garner, who wrote the quite authoritative Garner's Dictionary of Legal Usage. And Garner says that this distinction between shall and will has little utility. He writes, shall purportedly imposes a duty, but he sees it as declining in legal use even now because people see that the ambiguity is really tricky. So for expressing future, we tend to use will. And Garner says, there's no reason to hold on to shall in these contexts.
Well, Anne, if I ever need to make a distinction between these two, I shall look back on this conversation with gratitude.
I am glad that you will.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan and the author of Fixing English, Prescriptivism and Language History. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And while you're there, give us a review. We like to hear what you think.